Hey, Matt. Good morning. How do you do? Hey, Matt. Just want to talk about the boys in blue. Hey, Matt. Now that you've been here a year, what's your favorite KCQ? Hey, Matt. What's new in the clubhouse, the bullpen and the lineup too? Hey, Matt. How was the road trip? Bob and Dusty want to know. Hey, Matt. What do you think of Slugger and FM radio? Hey, Matt. Is it true you're a deadhead too? Hey, Matt. Kid Baseball want to talk music with you. Hey, Matt. Hey, Matt. Hey, Matt. Hey, Matt. Hey, Matt. Hey, Matt. Quintero. Hey, Matt. Hey, Matt. Hey, Matt. Hey, Matt. Hey, Matt.
Nothing else rhymes with Quatrero, I guess, right?
That's right. That's right. You hear that tune, you know we have the Royals manager, Matt Quatrero, on Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Century Roofing, your hometown roofing team, Casey-based and female-owned Century Roofing. Matt Quatrero, Royals manager, welcome to the show, my man.
And here we go. We got game three against the Yankees, Matt, but also, too, it's 9-11, and we talked about it about a half hour ago, and, you know, I'm 47. You and I are about the same age range. Dusty's 10 years younger. Mac wasn't even born, basically, when 9-11 happened. He was like 2 years old. But you were a guy that kind of grew up in the same area I did on the East Coast there and have those ties. You're playing in Yankee Stadium on 9-11. First of all, what do you think the emotions are going to be like tonight with 9-11 and being at Yankee Stadium?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very somber day, you know, but I think it's also a day that, you know, New Yorkers and people around the country rally around. You know, I think there'll be extra excitement in remembrance of the people that fell in the Twin Towers and then after. But I think, you know, just already this morning being out on the streets, I mean, you see the firehouses reading the names. You've passed by a couple of the streets were closed for I don't want to say parades, but processions of police and fire trucks and stuff like that. So, I mean, you see all the remembrance in full swing, and I mean, that's what it should be. I mean, we've said for 20 plus years now, we'll never forget. And that's something that's very important to us as Americans.
You were obviously, you know, in your formative years, if you will, you're in your 20s, whatever it was when 9-11 happened. What do you remember from that day? What was your day like?
Well, I mean, I had just gotten home the day before from the minor league season, and was at my parents' house and you know, with the morning news coming on, and just, you know, disbelief. You know, at first I think everybody was of the mind that, oh, it was a private plane or something like that, you know, an accident that happened. And then as things started to unfold, the disbelief, and then just trying to, you know, I knew plenty of people that I had gone to high school or college with that were working in the city, and then just trying to figure out who was safe and who wasn't, and just the things that came up like that. Then just the horror of watching the footage and the people on the street in disbelief. It was just terrifying.
What does this day mean to Brian Sweeney, the pitching coach you guys have? I know this is kind of an important day to him and his family as well.
Yeah, you know, Brian and I are actually going to visit a firehouse here shortly. You know, his dad was a firefighter. Brian's a volunteer firefighter in the off season in upstate New York. So it's something, you know, near and dear to him. I mean, I know he was the brains behind the stair climb last week at home. And I think we had a great turnout for that. Over 150 people there for that. It's something that he, you know, lives every day of his life, thinks about it, you know, I'm not saying thinks about 9-11, but thinks about the first responders. And yeah, it's definitely something that he's passionate about.
Matt, I want to bring up a question for you, as we are now joined by Royals manager Matt Quatrero here on Fesco and Dusty. Seth Lugo last night became the only pitcher in MLB so far this year with 193 innings. He's first. He's first in wins, or tied for first in wins. His ERA is tied, or he's fifth, 294. Boy, it's nice when he makes your job a lot easier like he did last night in that game, absolutely shoving from the mound.
Yeah, I agree. That does make it a lot easier. You know, Seth's been great for us all year. I mean, to see how he's pitched these last three, four games, especially after you know, so much talk about how many innings and all those kinds of things, but we knew that he was training for this in the off season, that he believes in himself. He takes great care of himself. But to see the results continue deep into the season, into September, and, you know, we've said multiple times, we're not in the position we're in with a chance to make the playoffs without our starting rotation and certainly without Seth. And those are the guys that we're going to rely on to get us to where we want to be.
One thing I love about teams when they have multiple guys that can be that guy or the A1 for day one is Lugo and Reagans, who have been neck and neck and kind of in starts this year, where you look at, you know, the awards at the end of the season, which, you know, they'll matter when they matter. But in-house competition is something that I love, and I always use it to compare like a quarterback controversy in preseason football. And you have Lugo, who does last night's masterpiece, and then you have Reagans tonight. I know your guys always huddle up after their start has been finished and they kind of talk about what it was. Kind of gives, I mean, maybe in my opinion, maybe it gives, you know, Cole that kind of juice to go out there and take apart what Lugo told him and go out there and be the other Cy Young on this staff that could also hopefully make your job a little bit easier tonight as well.
Yeah, sign me up. I mean, I'm good with that. I'm good with that. Five days, you know, every time somebody goes out there. I mean, the difference, I think, in your analogy to quarterback controversies, these guys know we need all five of them. We're all 13 pitchers. You know, it's not a one-man quarterback thing, and you try to get through 16, 17 games with one guy. I mean, we need every single one of these guys every time they take the ball. And overwhelmingly, they've given us that. The starters have given us that throughout the course of the year. I mean, I haven't seen the numbers lately, but I know we were up there in quality starts and innings pitched and all those things that, you know, when you look at the end of a long season, if you're in those categories near the top, you're going to be having a pretty good year.
Talking to Matt Quatrero, Royal Skipper, here on 96.5 The Fan, and I'll just ask it because everybody's wanting to know. Is Lugo your opening day starter for the postseason? Is he getting game one?
Well, we don't know if we'll be able to line things up. You know, I mean, that's the thing with where we are. This is a tight race. There's a lot of things that are going to be decided down the stretch. And, you know, I think currently, if, you know, barring any weather or anything like that, I think our last three games of the year are currently lined up for Singer, Lugo, and Reagans. So, you know, if we're able to decide our own fate prior to that, then maybe we can talk about, you know, jumbling things around. But if not, you know, we might need those guys down to the wire to get us in.
Okay, that's an interesting conversation that, you know, you've already kind of got it planned out where you're looking at the end of the season like that. I love it. You're acting like me. I enjoy that. But also, like, what happens if it does come down to the last day? You make it into the playoffs. You have that off day. How do you construct a postseason pitching staff? And I'm talking bullpen as well. How do you start and go about constructing that postseason staff for what you guys want to do in October?
Well, a lot of it would depend on how we get there. You know, I mean, normally for a short series, you have either 10 or 11 pitchers on the, if it's a three game series, you know, you need three starters, and then you can keep between seven and eight relievers, something like that. That's the norm that other teams have used in the past. But there would have to be a lot of discussion about that, because you got to see who pitched when and who's available in those next 3 days. And so, you know, again, that's why you hope that you can do stuff ahead of time and lock things up, but you never know. Things go down to the wire. I mean, you look at the Rangers last year, they came down to the last day of the season and then ended up going on to win the whole thing. So I think the Astros won the division on the last day of the season last year. I mean, that's the norm, right? I mean, that's why the third wild card is exciting. There's more teams involved right down to the wire. You know, there's all kinds of factors that go into it, but we just got to really continue to try to play our best ball down these last 3 weeks.
Talking to Royals manager Matt Quatrero, Matt, I want your advice. Other than promoting it on the air, what can I do to get Bobby Witt promoted more and more to win this MVP race? I'll go shirtless if you need me to.
Do you have any connections with those airplanes that pull the things behind them?
Or like the word planes. Yeah. Let's get a word plane over Yankee Stadium tonight that says Witt for MVP. Because we were talking earlier, like, why does it take Bobby playing in New York in September for the rest of the, like, the national media to go, oh, that Bobby Witt's a pretty good player. Like, you guys are playing the Yankees, and I get it. I understand the Yankees are the premier organization in all of professional sports in the world and whatnot, and the spotlight's always on them. But it's like people just woke up and realized that Bobby was a good baseball player because he happened to be playing at Yankee Stadium for 3 days.
Well, I don't know if that's fair. I mean, I think we see that people recognize how good Bobby is every day. I mean, and Salvi and you know, I mean, the conversations that started probably around the All-Star game when those guys were on center stage and the home run derby and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I think people that, you know, vote on those things know who Bobby Witt is. Now, whether that's a household name, you know, up and down the East Coast, who knows? And I don't really think that matters. I think Bobby continuing to do what he does and Salvi continuing to do what he does puts us as an organization in the best possible light.
All right, let's play the card game here. I got a couple of three names that I'm not sure I even recognize. I'm looking at a Topps card from 1992. Somebody named Mitch Webster.
Wow, Mitch Webster is a scout for us.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
So the Royals.
So never heard of him. But who did he play for in 1992?
The Dodgers.
You're right. Look at you. You actually had a conversation with Mitch. Way to go. This one should be easy for you.
So I think keep
he's one and done, but I'm going to let him go two for two here, I think. 89 Topps, Teddy Huguera.
The Tigers.
No, Brewers.
Way to go, Bob.
All right. Yeah, thanks a lot, Bob.
Yeah, way to go, Bob.
You got it, Matt.
Thanks for that drop, Matt. We appreciate it. Hey, go get another win. Series for the Yankees and get win number 81 tonight, my man.
All right. See you guys.
You got it.
Matt Cotrero, Royals manager. Love it. He said, we gotta keep promoting Bobby Witt Jr. We got to get one of those planes that has a banner on the back that says, vote Bobby and fly
get
it
a
over.
Word plane. Fly that's that right. thing over, Yank. How much does that cost? Because back in 2012, when we were doing Save Our Chiefs, which, by the way, the Save Our Chiefs Foundation back in 2012, somebody bought those guys Super Bowl rings. It's really a cool story to basically say they were the original guys to get this kind of thing started in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And I remember being on the air in 2012 when all the Chiefs stuff was going on, and Whitlock called in from the airport, and he paid for a word plane to say fire Pioli to fly over Arrowhead if somebody went up there and got the cash from him. Mm-hmm. And somebody did that. So if anybody wants to pay for a word plane to fly over Yankee Stadium, you know, let us know. We'll get that thing done and taken care of, and we'll say vote for Bobby. But you know, you gotta get voting for Bobby right now. I like that. Also, I like the fact that I said I've never heard of this guy before. Mitch Webster. He goes, well, he's a scout for us.
There you go.
Oh, good for Mitch.
You just heard Royals manager Matt Cotrero, brought to you by Century Roofing, your hometown roofing team, KC based and female owned. Century Roofing, CenturyRoofingKC.com. Chiefs best two players this week on Sunday. I'll tell you who they are on the other side of 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan on a Wednesday, cruising right along. That thing just made some noise. Trying to get these cameras figured out to give you something about that. But anyways, Chiefs Bengals on Sunday, 3:25. Jim Nance and Bob's guy Tony Romo.
Look out, Jim!
There you are. I think the two most important players on Sunday's game is Karlaftis and Chris Jones. I'll explain now. Yesterday, I might have overdone it. Might have been one of those analytical nerds, but I watched the Joe Burrow video that surfaced yesterday of him, you know, very daintily going about his day, kind of doing the wrist thing. Maybe I'm looking more into it because I watched it three times back to back to back. And he's kind of, you know, doing the whole like wrist roll thing, kind of flexing it, making sure it's still there. And then he goes to the sideline and he needs another hand to help support the Gatorade water bottle or whatever's in there because the wrist looked a little bit sore. You parlay that with Karlaftis and Chris Jones, who both had 6 pressures, third most in the NFL last week when it came to pressures of a defensive lineman or, you know, edge rusher, whatever you want to call it. Parsons led the day with 9, which is just insane. But 6 pressures, and since this team had trouble getting to Joe Burrow in that AFC Championship game, which the next year they would draft
right? McDuffie, Karlaftis, Leo Chenal, and just go Brian Cook as well, and just revamp the defense. Now you bring into effect, these guys are in year three, and Burrow is not 100%, at least judging by that video game. Maybe I'm way over, or maybe I'm off my hinges there, but it doesn't seem like it's right. He's got that in the back of his mind. You have Ja'Marr Chase calling out the coach in the play development in last week's game as they lose to New England. They come then to Kansas City on Sunday afternoon at 3:25, and those two guys could be sharks in the water going after the blood that will be Joe Burrow, and the pressure could be insanely, insanely awesome, because this is one of those games where you won't go into it thinking, what is Mahomes and Kelce, or what is Mahomes and Rice, or what is Mahomes and Xavier Worthy going to do to this defense? I'm going into this game saying, what are Karlaftis and Chris Jones going to do to that offensive line and really wreck the day of Joe Burrow?
Well, I think you got to go after Joe Burrow in this game. I mean, everybody's seen the video now. I'm sure the Chiefs are going to see the video. I'm sure they're going to be shown the video and saying, look, his hand's a little banged up. If you happen to, you know, graze it with your helmet or something, then so be it. And
easy,
I'm not,
Florio.
You know, I'm not sitting here saying that at all, but I'm speaking from the mind of how I know guys are going to approach this game. And they know they've got a wounded duck right now in Joe Burrow, and they're going to go after him. Look, Spagnuolo goes after everybody, right? He blitzes everybody, no matter if they have a healthy wrist or not. And if you can use something to your advantage, you're going to use it to your advantage. And that's where we are in the NFL, really with every professional sports team, right? Like, every team is pretty much even, but you have to find ways to go out there and use certain things to your advantage. And I'm sure the Chiefs will make sure that they hit him a little extra harder, make him, you know, think about that wrist, make him feel that wrist, make that phantom pain go up his arm and whatnot. And if you bring him to the ground and he has to brace his fall with that wrist, I'm kind of cringing right now just thinking about the pain that he's going to be in one of those type of situations. So I look at this Joe Burrow wrist injury as something that is not going to heal this year. It's going to be a nagging injury all season long, and you have to make him factor that injury in on every single play. You have to make him think about that injury on every single play, and I think the Chiefs will do a good job of doing that.
I want to bring this up because you had mentioned this earlier that you want to see, and people that you know within the organization want to see, is an explosion of offense always and just beat everybody 42-0. Would you not be ecstatic if this team won 14-0 and Burrow had less than 100 yards throwing, Ja'Marr Chase had one catch for 9 yards because McDuffie just decided to shadow him? Or would you still be rather in the boat of, I'd rather see this game be like 41-14 and Mahomes and Worthy just seem unstoppable?
Well, I obviously I'd rather have 41-14, but if they win 14-0, I don't care. They won the game, right?
A win's a win.
And in the NFL, we know wins are very hard to come by. And if you go out and you beat a Cincinnati team 14-0, okay, then you won that game. You beat a team that is in your conference that a lot of people believe is your kryptonite for whatever reason. Again, that fallacy, that story that continues to be rolled out there of Burrowhead and all that junk. He had a good half of football here. Congratulations, tip your cap. That's in the past. And so I think you go out there and you win 14-0 or 41-14. 41-14 gets you the style points, gets everybody talking about you.
Right.
But it's no different than winning 14-0 because, you know, there's no, you know, positives for, you know, housing somebody in the NFL. You don't get style points per se in the NFL when it comes to seeding or anything like that. You just got to go out there and win your game. So I don't care how they win this game. If it's a close game, then so be it. It's a close game. But I don't know that it is going to be a close game. I think the Chiefs right now may have played their closest game of the season last Thursday.
I think it's also interesting to look at this Chiefs offense with how many weapons they have, and you've been told that their fingers are crossed that Hollywood Brown could return this week.
Yeah, there's some hope. There's some inside hope from what I'm hearing from sources in the league that they're hopeful, if you will, that Hollywood Brown could get back on the field. If he does, great. If it's one more week, then it's one more week. It's not that, you know, that big a deal. You already won a game without Hollywood Brown. You'd love to have him back and ready to go. It gives you all those options on offense that you can do, and it would be fun to have Hollywood Brown back. So I think they're going to be kind of cautious about this one. If he's not 100%, there's no reason to rush this guy back right now.
And again, the stat that we brought up earlier from the 33rd team on X is players that generated the most pressures so far in week one. Karlaftis and Chris Jones both created six. That's why I'm leaning on them to really be the focal point in this matchup. But the other thing that I would like to see as well is Cincinnati cannot stop the run. Again, giving 170 rushing yards total to the New England Patriots in that loss at home to them last week. Ramondre Stevenson had 25 for 120. It's just a great day for a guy named Ramondre Stevenson, which I think we can all agree you'd take Isaiah Pacheco over that. This is a
Everybody's been kind of waiting for his breakout, I feel like, for the last couple of years, right? Yeah. Like, you guys are the fantasy guys. Like, I feel like he's that guy that everybody's like, don't sleep on this guy. And every year,
well, it's weird fantasy-wise because he offers so much because he catches like three or four passes, gets 20 to 30 yards receiving, always seems to find the end zone. So he's almost like a lock every week.
He plays every snap, yeah.
Right. So I wouldn't be opposed to seeing it this week, the streaming offense they go to take a fantasy note of that is to just run the ball 20 times Isaiah Pacheco.
Yeah, maybe they decide to do that. But I also believe that there is a, and I've been saying this for months now, there is a revenge factor. There is a Fair. Show everybody that we're not broken and that we're back from an offensive standpoint factor. Like, people don't understand how much that really does burn inside of them. And I think their goal is to go out there and just put up as many points as they possibly can, embarrass the hell out of their opponent. Running the football would be great in the second half. Like, if they padded themselves a 21-point lead or something like that, yeah, you're going to run the football a little bit, but I still think this offense feels like they left a lot out on the table last year, and they're still kind of playing for last year, which I know sounds nuts and whatnot, but I know that's their MO. So to say that they give it to Pacheco and run it early on in the game, I would lean towards no on that, just because I think they want to go out there, and especially this team that's talked the smack that they've talked. Ja'Marr Chase acts like he's never heard of Patrick Mahomes and all that kind of stuff. Like this is the team that they just want to kick the snot out of on Sunday.
Well, also we're talking about they can't stop the run, which is totally true. They showed that in week one against the Patriots, but the Patriots can't throw the ball. They have the worst receiving core in the league, so we don't know if they can really stop the pass either. This Bengals defense is rough. One of the big reasons I had them missing the playoffs alongside the Joe Burrow injury.
The Joe Burrow wrist injury is, I mean, that sets the whole tone for everything. And you know what happens, Mac. If they go out there and they have a bad game, Ja'Marr Chase is already pissed.
Ooh.
They go out and have a bad game. They lose 41-14. He has two catches or whatnot. I mean, you thought it was bad last week with the way that he handled this post-game stuff. This Sunday could be epic.
Speaking of epic, Fesco, if you haven't met him yet, his name's Bob. He goes on some rants.
Brioche.
I'm going to play you some audio from a linebacker that played here last week, and then I'll let you...
Who is it?
Kyle Van Noy. Remember he got hurt with the eye injury? He had something to say here that Mac brought to my attention.
I was disappointed in the way the training staff of the Chiefs handled the situation. When things like that hurt, you get hurt, especially something that could be serious like mine was, you're supposed to rely on the team's training staff or, you know, their doctors. And I was supposed to see a ophthalmologist, which is somebody who checks out eye, performs, you know, right, eye surgery. And they took an entire quarter to get down to talk to me in the locker room, which to me is unacceptable. Because then you start thinking, you know, what if I was trying to go back in the game? What if I was, you know, really, really hurt? I know mine was happened to be moderate, but it still was serious because it's an eye. And, you know, your expectation of someone to be down there as the training staff asked him to be down there would have had a little bit more urgency. And just the way it took time was super unprofessional to me. You know, especially there's people that were in there too. One of the doctors or the friend of the doctor was in there, double cup fisted, styrofoam cups, like everything was good. And I just felt like that was unprofessional. I understand how Kansas City, the players have given that training room an F. Because with my experience, I would have probably, after that, gave him an F, too.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bob Fesco.
All right, Karen Van Noy, here's the thing. First of all, did you call a manager on that? And second of all, have you ever been in a situation where you've needed a medical assistance or the police or anything like that, or Jay Southlanto, you have an accident or something like that? Nobody ever comes as fast as you want them to, right? Nobody ever is there in the amount of time that you think is necessary. When it's an emotional thing for you, when it's an emergency situation for you, you always think people take forever to show up. So I'm going to question his timeline there. I'm going to reach out to the Chiefs and get their side of the story on this. I hope Andy Reid addresses this today as well. First and foremost, or second, however, whatever number we're on right now with Karen Van Noy here, is the fact that you've got a situation where your training staff is responsible for you. That's that's kind of how this operation works. Your training staff is going to be responsible for you. Then if they need assistance from the other team's training staff, they'll call that other team's training staff over and maybe they can help them with something. And again, when you have a situation, a medical situation to you, you've been in a doctor's waiting room, you've been to the emergency room, you've been to urgent care, you never think it moves fast enough. I guarantee you those doctors were down there as fast as they possibly could get down there. Because the one thing that doctors don't know are uniform colors and who's on what team and who plays for who. If there's an emergency situation, which that was not an emergency situation, the doctors are down there. Did you see how fast they responded to DeMar Hamlin, all those team doctors mm-hmm. that got involved? That was an emergency response situation, and they were there when they needed them the most. Karen Van Noy sounds like a very bitter member of the Ravens that got their tails kicked in here in Kansas City and now is like blaming the referees. Like when your team loses and you want to blame the referees for why you lost or blame the umpires for why you lost, it sounds like this gentleman is now out here blaming the training staff because he's got nothing else to blame. And they were embarrassed on national TV and got their ass kicked by 7 by the Kansas City Chiefs. And now it's the team doctor's fault for the Chiefs, a team you don't even play for. You need to shut the hell up, man, and worry about you and your team and not sit here and blame the Kansas City Chiefs staff. And I know why they gave him an F. You know what? The Chiefs probably gave you an F. That's why you're a Raven now, pal.
Mm. Karen Van Noy.
Yeah, I like that.
Why, did he not sound like Karen looking for the manager?
From the 913, Karen Van Noy, no one ever comes as fast as you want them to. Said no woman ever.
No, I think to me, it took 1 week to answer the question that we had gotten into this season searching for. Who is that team that is going to be the Chiefs, you know, threat or thorn in the side? I think we have our answer. We had the response at the end of the game as they were mad that, you know, what was his name? The linebacker, Roquan Smith, was mad that Hendershot was trying to go because they took a cheap shot at Patrick Mahomes.
You took
Mahomes.
A cheap shot at Patrick Mahomes and you went into their sidelines.
Right.
Sorry.
Then you add that, right after that, you add that to Isaiah Likely screaming at the Chiefs fans in the tunnel, video surfaced.
Right.
You then parlay that into Kyle Van Noy's response. And it sounds like you are now rent-free in Baltimore's head.
I've never heard of a player on another team complaining about another team's training staff before. That's a new one for me.
They should rename the Ravens to the Baltimore Bees from the 86.
Well, and I sent y'all a TikTok or something this morning. Yeah. Lamar Jackson's liking videos that are making fun of the refs from that game. I mean, he still thinks they won
the
that
refs.
Game.
What did the refs do in that game?
Oh, the
people
refs.
Who blame the officials when their team loses. It's like KU fans when they lose a basketball game. Ah, John Higgins was terrible. You went 3-for-30 from beyond the arc. Well... No, you went 3-for-30 from beyond the arc.
Somebody says, give Kyle Van Noy a new pair of panties because he wet his.
I mean,
Van Noy has the public speaking skills of a second grader.
This is wild to me. I
blaming
never,
the Chiefs.
Never
staff.
Heard this. Like, complaining about the referees in that? For what reason? What are we blaming the refs for? Because that first drive. Where Ronnie Staley couldn't stay on sides. If I'm not mistaken, you scored a touchdown, mm-hmm. right? Okay, so you still scored.
Derrick Henry.
What are they blaming the refs for?
Yeah, this video is like unnecessary movement. The Ravens wanted to get water during a timeout. I mean, it's stupid stuff, bro.
Right,
it's
but
stuff.
You scored on that drive with all the unnecessary movements.
Yeah.
So it didn't hurt
no,
you.
No, exactly.
Well, enjoy it, gentlemen. You have your team now. Now you have the team. It's not Cincinnati.
No, it's definitely
not. It's not Houston.
Yeah.
It's not the Chargers. It's the Baltimore Ravens. They are now super petty. They are super pissed. And now you are rent-free in Baltimore's head where before, right, it was are Baltimore and Kansas City the two best teams. Baltimore kind of, you know, toes their own path, no pun intended.
I was just saying.
Yeah. You know, and here we are. It's not our fault that their tight end was out of bounds. It's not our fault their quarterback.
And there's no debating that.
Yeah. And it's not our fault that, you know, their quarterback missed a wide open throw in the end zone that would have also tied the game or would have won the game they went for two. Possibly they do because they just probably give it to Derrick Henry up the middle. And, you know, you can have your fair complaints that Spags call a timeout.
That, again, is not the Chiefs' fault. That's the ref not being
and
in the
moment.
And
that's the biggest complaint that you have from the officiating in that game is that they let Spags call it. That was a well-officiated game, fellas.
And if you want to play the Chiefs again, you now have to go do your job to face them in the playoffs.
Right.
And if you do, can't wait.
So, complaining about officials, I've heard that song and dance. That's nonsense. Blaming somebody else for your failure is fine. I get it. That's what we do. But blaming the other team's training staff?
Mm-hmm.
And the guy had a styrofoam cup and was two-fisting drinks? His friend? Like, what the hell was that?
Double down, double trips, double cups.
Are people not allowed to have a drink at a game?
Mm-mm. It just sounds like they're defeated beyond week one.
It does.
They got to worry about week two. Yeah. I mean, I see people say, we just got to move on past the Ravens. Well, I mean, we don't have any Cincinnati audio yet. That'll come tomorrow.
Oh, that'll, that's today. Today's the first day of
They'll be in the locker room. That'll happen today. I'm almost tempted to go to Arrowhead today.
Who do the Ravens have today or this week?
Who, the Ravens?
Oh, they got the Raiders.
Yeah, Raiders.
They get Gardner Minshew.
So they'll bounce back.
Yeah,
I hope Van Noy finds peace.
Are we rooting for the Ravens to be good so they can play the Chiefs again?
Yeah, I want to. Yeah.
Who are you?
Don't cuss again, Mac.
Yeah.
Man, I love this. I love this sort of hatred in sports. I tell
we
you,
we need
the time.
It. We need it.
You do.
Yeah. You do. And look, the Ravens are a very. Ooh. I don't want to say because I like John Harbaugh and
me
I love
too.
Lamar and
me
I
too.
Love the colors of their jerseys and their uniforms.
Me too.
But it's like I can get on board with hating the Ravens. They could be a hateable team.
Absolutely, especially with this BS.
I mean, Kyle Van Noy blaming the Chiefs' training staff is all time for me.
That's right.
Game was like a week ago.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Literally.
Who was he on with that he was complaining about the Chiefs training
staff?
That's
his podcast, McCoy and Van Noy.
McCoy and Van Noy.
Oh, that Colt McCoy guy who was on the Nebraska broadcast? That guy rots.
Mm-hmm. And then some people say it wasn't even Spags that called a timeout. Andy ended up calling it.
Yeah, he did.
So
Chris Collinsworth screwed that up.
Weird. Weird.
Kyle Van Not.
Karen Van Not.
Don't
forget, you can still go to our poll question that we had at the top of the show. It is severely losing in the field that Bob and I wanted. We asked the question.
I can't believe this one.
We asked the question on Fesco and Dusty poll question of the week. Should the NCAA and the NFL offer 8 o'clock and 9:30 games? The reason we asked that is because Matt Rule's great comments.
It's up to me. We play at 9 o'clock in the morning. You know, kegs and eggs and football. Let's go.
No doubt about it. You can vote yes or no. Right now, there are 506 votes. We need more. It is 70.8% in the favor of no. Only 29% of the votes have yes. Bob and I are outnumbered. No surprise there. As the team of play the games the way they are already is winning that vote. Coming up on the other side, we get into a question that Max Fiance wanted to ask us on 96.5 The Fan of Fesco and Dusty, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Sounds like Kyle Van Noy needs a few margaritas in Margaritaville, one eye at a time. Some names coming in for Kyle Van Noy, Kyle Van Annoying, Kyle Annoy, and Van Annoying has always been a crybaby. And then this one says,
you think Van Noy was hot for teacher?
No.
What did we say the other day was Van Halen's
inhaling. I think that's this weekend, actually, on Saturday. Somebody says, Karen Van Noy needs to have a visor or safety specs from now on. I bet he wore a bicycle helmet in the 80s.
That's fantastic. If you wore a bike helmet in the 80s, you got your ass kicked.
That sucks.
Like, you got made fun of if you had a bicycle helmet on in the 80s. Then we now make our kids wear bicycle helmets and they cross the street. But, you know, safe better than sorry, I guess.
So... We
did
like
you
to,
wear a bicycle helmet? Was that your generation?
I had to.
See, we did. That was like, no, we're not spending money on that. Don't fall.
That's how
we were protected. We were told not to fall.
Rub some dirt on it.
I wish I would have worn elbow guards because I had a massive injury to my elbow on my bike. The tire got caught between the sidewalk and the grass.
Yeah.
And I actually hit my front brake and I flew forward and my elbow went like straight on the ground. Went to open my locker and some girl next to me almost passed out. She goes, your elbow's messed up. And I looked at her and went, oh my God.
Oh, you didn't even really know.
Because I thought it was just one of those like burns.
Yeah.
So I just like, ah. So I went to my locker and opened the locker. And this girl next to me goes, "Oh my God, your elbow, I look back. There's like skin flapping."
Ah! Yeah. Did they put Bactine on it and send you back to class?
Funny story to continue. I actually got in school suspension for one day for abusive language because the nurse in the school poured rubbing alcohol down my arm.
I screamed,
"Holy S." And she goes, "Dustin Likens." And I was like, "You just poured rubbing alcohol on an open wound."
Yeah, what did you expect me to do?
One day of in school suspension.
Did you blame the other school's nurse or is that just a Van Noy thing?
That's good. That's good. Mac, your wife gets the show. She knows we like to end every hour with a fun topic. Your topic this week comes from your fiance. What was that topic to be had?
Yeah, we were just drinking, talking, hanging out. She was like, "What would be your ideal headliners for a music festival?" And I was like, "Oh, that's a good one."
Is this a one-day music fest? Is this a three-day music fest where there's a great band every day, so you got to buy all three tickets?
Let's say it's 3 days. You got three headliners. Forget the rest of the bands. You can fill it with a bunch of great bands. You got three awesome headliners, Friday, Saturday, Sunday night. What do you got?
Okay, for me, I'm pretty old school with
Alive
this one.
Alive or dead?
Anything.
Yeah, well, I went dead, but I'm going Guns, Bon Jovi, Jimmy Buffett. Those are my three headliners.
Love that. That's great.
Yeah, I wish I would have saw Buffett live, unfortunately.
I wish I would have seen him more. I only saw him twice. Sucks.
R.I.P. to Jimmy B. I'm going to go on
I don't know if there's a happier place on earth than a Buffett concert.
Tuesday in the basement. Brioche. I will bring up, because I've kind of gotten into like this new sort of like vibe of music in my life, and I've seen two of these people this year, but I'd love to see like an event, like an all-day festival outside. Give me like, if it's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, give me the Turnpike Troubadours on Friday. They're a great band. They're just kind of bluegrassy. They're very good. I enjoy them a lot. Then let me have Saturday night where I can just get, you know, revved up, thirsty, and ready to drown. That's a line from his song. Zach Bryan on a Saturday night. Nice. He was great live. I'll see him every time he's in town. I promise you that. And then on Sunday, let me go to church. Eric Church puts on a great show, has a lot of bangers. I love that sort of country vibe there. I mean, trust me, I like all genres of music. But those three guys at a festival, there's tons of talent everywhere. Everybody's in a good mood. I like all their songs. I like those three together in that sort of like a Lollapalooza type of vibe. Yeah. So give me Turnpike on Friday. Give me Zach Bryan on Saturday and give me Eric Church on Sunday. Just a total vibe outdoor show weekend.
Those outdoor festivals are great, except that the band you want to go see starts at 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's hard to make it.
But
to
they
that
could
show.
Start at 8 or 9:30 in the morning.
Yes. That's which would be fine.
I'm better with that. Yeah, exactly. And it's also hard with festivals because it's like there's two great bands playing at the same time. It's like, okay, we're going to catch half of each show, I guess. Yeah, right. That sort of thing. For me, I'm going to go Blink-182. Seen him live twice. Going to see him live again this month. Sorry, Dusty.
Nice. Must be nice.
I'm going to go Motley Crue. So,
really?
Yeah, I love Motley Crue. I think they're just absolute bangers, and I would love to just mosh and headbang. Okay. And then top three bands that I have not seen live that I want to. I've just heard nothing but amazing things. Mumford & Sons.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. You've never seen them?
My buddy's wife, I think, has seen them 8 times.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's like up
there. I mean, I've heard it's worth it.
Oh, yeah.
Good concert, huh?
I've heard they're fantastic.
I mean, you could also put another festival of mine. You could go like Dead & Company, Widespread Panic, and then, I don't know, whoever else after that. I don't know if I'd make it to Sunday after seeing those two live.
Yeah, Sunday would be a rough one, man.
I'll sell my shirt for the grilled cheese. Text line 913-586-7965. Who would be your three headliners? Somebody says Pink Floyd, Elvis Presley, Garth Brooks.
Well, that's good.
That's a hell of a threesome. Like, seriously, when you think about it, right?
That's right.
Fat Elvis or regular Elvis?
I don't know.
What was that Elvis song I sent you the other day, Mac? I'm like, oh, my God. This was. It was.
It was his song.
Oh, it was that Sweet Caroline, wasn't it?
Yeah, Sweet Caroline. Yeah.
Somebody says Rage Against the Machine, My Chemical Romance, and then Metallica.
Nice.
I wouldn't mind the first two. Even though we'll never see Rage Against the Machine again, unfortunately.
Are you excited to see Linkin Park with their new singer?
No, I never liked Linkin Park.
Okay.
Wow.
Just not my cup of tea.
Interesting. Okay.
I thought the best thing to do was the collab with Jay-Z. That would be my third band in the three. I would do Dead & Company. I would do Widespread Panic. And then Sunday, I'd do Dave Matthews Band.
How did David Grohl miss yesterday's announcement by not saying, "I've got another confession to make"?
Yeah, with that story about his, what is it, kid outside of marriage?
Yeah, 55 or something. Yeah. I thought it was like a kid that he had like 30 years ago or something.
From the 816, Poison, Alan Jackson, Zach Brown Band.
Mm.
Alan Jackson's actually going to be in town for his farewell tour, which he'll do again for two or three years.
There's no farewell tour.
I love me some Alan Jackson. Paying. Chattahoochee.
way down yonder on the Chattahoochee.
That's right. Somebody says from the 816, Jimi Hendrix, Prince, and Def Leppard.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
What would be your three deceased bands you could see or people you'd see? I'd see Tom Petty.
Good one.
Then I would go to Prince.
Okay.
And then I'd probably go to Bob Marley.
All three really nice. Good. Yeah. I mean, I'd have to really think about that because I immediately would go Jimmy Buffett. And then I'd put Frank Sinatra on that list.
Michael Jackson. For me,
you know what? That's That'd a good one.
Michael Jackson for me, probably.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah,
Michael Jackson, really good one. Yeah.
Michael Jackson and Prince in the same weekend.
Oh my god!
That'd right? be sick.
I wonder how good.
The great thing about Prince, though, is, and I've told this story many times, everybody in Minneapolis that lives there has a positive, great story about Prince. You just go up to somebody, go, tell me your Prince story. They've got a story. Oh, yeah. Like, one guy I met up there when we were up there for our baseball trip, because I'm kind of a jackass at times. I'm like, tell me about Prince. And I didn't realize everybody would have a story about this guy. He said my dad's boss or whatever used to live by Prince. Mm-hmm. And he would have a party and he'd go around and knock on all the neighbors' houses and let them know that he was having a party that night and invite them all over.
What?
And I was like, did your dad ever go? He goes, no, he never. I go, how could you never go?
You have to go. Ugh.
Somebody says Michael Jackson, Prince, and then Eminem.
Nice.
Would I go see Eminem live if he came to Kansas City? I think I might.
It depends on the money.
If Michael Jackson right. came to Kansas City right now, I'd go see him.
Even if it was like the hologram?
No, I'm talking about really live. Yeah.
Give me Tupac, Biggie, and give me that in a weekend.
Nice. I love
the show.
Somebody says Mosh Pit and a Motley Crue. I'd love to see that.
Let's go, baby.
I cannot picture that. 913-586-7965. Yeah. Turnpike, Cross Canadian Ragweed, George Strait.
Slipknot, Korn, and Nirvana. That's a good one.
I'd go see the old Number Fives at a weekend concert.
There you go. They're opening for Guns N' Roses soon.
I'd have a backstage pass to that, I believe. I've always wanted to do that. I've always wanted to be a backstage passer. I've always wanted to see that point of view. Like, be able to, like, stand on the side of the stage and, like, see, like, the action. Like, I think I went to Kelsey Jam a couple years ago, and Rick Ross was on stage.
Dude,
and
I was there.
I was in the front row, VIP, covering the concert. And people like sitting in couches on the left side of the stage. I'm like, God, that'd be awesome.
That's the way to do it, right?
Like, yeah. I just love to have a beer and just sit there and just jam into Rick Ross. I've never seen Rick Ross. I wanted to see Rick Ross. Saw him live. It was awesome. Never saw Tech N9ne live. Saw him that night.
He was so good.
You talk about a guy that captivated a crowd.
Seriously.
Bonner Springs knew every word of every song and was just in motion to everything
that
Tech N9ne was doing.
That night was awesome.
What are you crossing your eyes for over there?
I'm rubbing my eye.
Oh, okay.
Machine Gun Kelly actually sounded good,
you
too.
You need to get the Chiefs training staff?
I do. Yeah, my eye hurts. I'm blaming the Chiefs training staff.
One. Yeah. Yeah. How about this one, Mac? How you like this one?
God.
Mac Miller on Friday, nice. Tupac on Saturday, Biggie on Sunday.
Yes. I'm in.
I like Grateful Dead, Pink Floyd.
And the Talking Heads. Yeah. I've seen a Talking Heads cover band. It was amazing. I wish I could see the Talking Heads today.
Grateful Dead, Widespread Panic, and the Talking Heads. I do like this one too. As you mentioned, Mac Miller, Pink Floyd, and Chicago. That's just a really eclectic third one to throw in there too.
A buddy of mine, his name is Seneca. He's actually going to Vegas for a workout. And one of their events that night as a team bonding is going to see Chicago live in Vegas.
Oh,
I was like, you lucky
we
duck.
We got free pizza once a month.
Oof. Nice. Eagles, Lynyrd Skynyrd, and Queen. That'd be a lineup. Just to see. What about David Bowie, Queen, and the Eagles. That'd be nice, too.
How about Whitney Houston, Prince, and Michael Jackson? You're talking about three. Woo! That would be a hell of a show.
Three people that have headlined the halftime show at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and none of them in my kitchen.
There you go. Take care of yourselves out there, Kansas City. As we tell you every single day, or at least I do, go do something nice for somebody. You never know. It could change their day, week, month, or year. Shout out to Robert, who did something nice. Brought me tacos from San Antonio today. So shout out to you, Robert. Kansas City, stay cool, stay calm, stay collected, be safe, and stay kind. We love you. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Coming up next, it's Cody and Gold here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.